following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
Hello, Refuge family. Good to be with you. It's Tuesday. It's fireside chat time, and Isaac is poised and positioned with his candle lit for fireside chat. And I just wanted to very briefly tell you and inform you, tell you first, thank you for registering for services last weekend, also for tomorrow night for a midweek study, and for this coming weekend services. The reason we need to do that, as most of you know, but not everyone, because I get these questions asked to me, the reason we need to do that is because the current restrictions are in this sanctuary where we're at right now, 100 people. Plus, we can use our cafe. Plus, we can use our overflow and our courtyard, but 100 people in the sanctuary. So even though it's a 750-seat sanctuary, we took out half the seats already, but we can only put in 100 right now. So that process is still being reviewed, and hopefully in a couple more weeks, I think it's 2 weeks from today, that may change. Keep that in prayer if you would. But in the meantime, in order to accommodate everyone that we can in here without people coming to the front and being told, hey, you know, we don't have room, we need to do the registration process. So that's why. It's the only reason why. It's for you. Secondly, the information that we ask of you for the registration process, that's for you as well. That's just so we can inform you of updates, get information to you, especially during this time when things are changing quickly, and we can get that information to you quickly. Also, things like birthday. People, well, why do they need that? We just want to bless you. We just want to be able to say when we can on your birthday, hey, happy birthday. We're thanking the Lord for you. So that's why we're doing it. So register for tomorrow night service, this weekend services. We added a 12:30 for Sunday afternoon just to accommodate as many of you that can and want to be here with us. But you're with us now on live stream. We're thankful. So Isaac, take it away, brother.
Boom. Oh, quick handoff there. Good afternoon, Refuge family. If you can go ahead and open God's word to Psalm 77. Psalm 77, although if those of you guys that are familiar with that psalm, it's an interesting place to find encouragement, but you will, because all of Scripture, all of the Bible points to Jesus, and by default, Jesus is the greatest encouragement that ever existed. So Psalm 77, I think we're only going to have time to look at the first two verses, but that's kind of where we're going to be at today. So in the days of me wanting to search for truth, I was not yet a believer. I was just really doing my own research. I didn't want to take what people were saying about this faith and that faith just by them saying it. I actually wanted to, for myself, spend some time just searching for truth. And one of the things that stood out about Christianity was that Christianity, especially you could see it very clearly throughout the scriptures, was not afraid to address every human emotion. Christianity, the thing that stood out to me about Christianity was that it was unafraid, unembarrassed to address every level of emotion. And so there is a there's even a genre in our scriptures that is called lament. And there's a whole book called the Book of Lamentations. And that was huge for me because you look at other religions, other disciplines to ask questions, to address doubt, fear. It was either explained away by you just having more faith, which faith is important. That's a connecting point for us, and that's one thing that all religions, in a sense, have in common. But when it came to asking questions, being honest before the clergy or before the person in charge, kind of bringing your honest and genuine concerns was one thing that I saw in Scripture was not afraid of. But secondarily, what I experienced, the expression of Christianity was, my first expression of real Christianity was here at this church, where I was just loved as I was, There was no, it didn't matter that I was different. It didn't matter that I was, that I wasn't from this background or for that background. I was just able to be me, and I was welcomed by a group of people that were very, very different from me. And so in my search of truth, and I remember kind of that time in my life where I was just alongside with my mom's prayer and love and grace and long suffering for me, but along with that, it was something that marked me, of something that God used to draw me to Himself. And Christian, I would encourage you, we have enough in Scripture and through the body of Christ that we can be open and honest with Him. A phrase or a quote that if you've heard me preach before, or you've talked to me long enough, and I even forget where I got this from. I wish I was smart enough to come up with this stuff, but I didn't. But a quote that you'll very often hear me say is, the gospel frees us from pretending to be something we're not. The gospel frees us from pretending to be something we're not. And Refuge family, if I can be on and to live that truth out of the gospel, true before you even this afternoon, I'm heavy. I am mourning. I am just in a place where, it's been a while. Just looking at what's going on in our nation, what's going on with the evils in the world, obviously with everyone. I mean, it's been addressed from this pulpit. It's been addressed everywhere. You can't really go away from it. But I, because of what is going on in this world, I'm in a place of mourning. I'm in a place of lament. And the scriptures are not foreign to that. Because lament, very simply defined, is a prayer in pain that leads to trust. Lament, simply defined, is a prayer that you express to God in pain that leads to trust. And it's no coincidence that a third of the book of Psalms is filled with lament. A third of all of the Psalms is lament. And here we see one of them from Asaph, one of the psalmists here. And I think there's some encouragement. Not I think, I know there's some encouragement for you and for me this afternoon. So Psalm 77, starting at verse 1. I cried out to God with my voice, and He gave ear to me. You could pause right there. No one really knows what exactly the psalmist was walking through in this moment, but what is clear here is that he's talking to God. He keeps talking to God, and he makes reference of it all throughout the psalm, even though he is in great pain and great distress and great, in a great point of calamity in his life. And what he models here right from the get-go in verse 1, he keeps talking to God. Now, in moments in pain, for those of us that have walked through deep pain and have experienced crisis in our lives, one of the temptations that you and I will have is to give God the silent treatment, to want to just to avoid that emotion, to not want to bring all of those things to the foot, to the foot of the cross, to Jesus Himself, and because of Jesus, right, the encouragement is that we can keep talking to God. We can lay before Him what is heavy and what is burdening us, what is hurting us. We can lay that before our God. And here the psalmist is modeling that to us, to keep talking to God, even when the situation, when life is messy and extremely hurtful. And so by way, I mean, it's ultra obvious here, but my encouragement to us, Refuge family, is have you stopped talking to God? Is your knee-jerk reaction to post this and that on social media, to call this person or that person, to email this person, to email that pastor? Refuge family, are we known for kind of a stubborn approachability to keep talking to God during moments of great pain and sorrow and suffering. Look what the psalmist says in verse 2. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My hand was stretched out in the night without ceasing. My soul refused to be comforted. Here, the psalmist continuing to turn to God is a level of faith, right? It even says at the end of verse 2, my soul refused to be comforted. So we don't know, again, exactly what's going on, but whatever he's doing, it's not working. But he keeps talking to God. So you could even call this simple, you can see in this line very simply, it's an act of faith. Not seeing the results, not experiencing immediate comfort from his despair. He is, in faith, talking to God still. He's stretching out his hand, right? And the picture, biblically speaking, when you read of someone having their hands stretched out, that is a place of ultimate surrender, of just not knowing where to go next. It's a place where you don't know what else to do but to cry out to God. And here, it is an act of faith. And I certainly had this thought early on in my walk with Jesus, where when I wouldn't experience great relief from pain and from suffering, I would immediately just think to myself, you know what? I just don't have faith. I don't have enough faith. I don't have faith like this person or that person. You see, lament, that's not lament. Those experiences and those feelings are true, but the one thing that is true about lament is that it is one of the most costly demonstrations that you do have faith. It's a costly demonstration that actually that Jesus is your Lord, that you have been saved by Jesus. And although you see what's around you, whatever it is that you're experiencing does not match up to the goodness of God, to the sovereignty of God, it's hard for you to maybe understand and compute and try to explain the injustices that are going on in our world. And then you look at what God says about himself, what he promises us. And there is a temptation to believe, you know what? Maybe I just don't have faith. Maybe I just don't have enough faith to see the way God sees things. No, I would lovingly try to correct that notion and encourage you, Refuge family, that lament is a costly demonstration. It is a costly demonstration that you have faith. And this kind of, in talking to this with a friend of mine, just even the concept of some people even thinking that lament is a sin, well, I think Jesus would disagree with you, right? Because Jesus himself lamented. Right? What did he say there on the cross? My God, why have you forsaken me? Our Lord and Savior himself modeled lament to us. And one of the things that I've grown to love about lament is that it keeps us from falling into two ditches. First ditch being denial, second ditch being despair. First one, denial, is exactly that. It's slapping on a happy face when your life is crumbling. It's slapping on a happy face when you walk in these doors, when you know you need help. Your marriage needs help. Your relationships need help. You see, lament keeps us from that sin, the sin of denial, because it's not true. It's fake. It's being fake ultimately. And then the second ditch being despair. And that's when you begin to navel gaze. You begin to look at your resources, look at what you do or do not have, and you start thinking things like, you know what? Maybe I'm not a Christian. Maybe I don't have enough faith to believe this or that, and you get to a place of hopelessness and you experience despair. Lament keeps us from denial, it keeps us from being fake as a people, and it keeps us from hopelessness and despair. Lament, one thing that I love, that I've grown to love about lament, is that it walks the middle road between despair as one of the most costly and profound demonstrations of belief in God's sovereignty. Right? We walk in between those two poles of denial and despair. And you see, don't have much time to unpack this, but skip down all the way to verse 19 and 20, where the psalmist says, "Your way was in the sea, your path in the great waters, and your footsteps were not known." Verse 20, "You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron." Here he's giving a reference to the Red Sea, of Moses leading God's people, and God showed up, split the Red Sea so that they can cross it. And as the nation of Egypt was going to harm the people of God, the Red Sea closes upon the Egyptians and delivers his people. The Exodus was a pivotal marking point in the life of believers in the Old Testament. Here he's making reference of it. So what is it in the New Testament? Well, for those of us in the New Covenant, in the New Testament, the cross of Jesus. You see, in the cross of Jesus, God turned a horrific event for the destruction of sin and death in your life and in mine. And it was the pivotal point. It's a thing that marks every believer since Jesus forward. And here we are, thousands of years later, banking on that truth, banking on the hope that we have because of Christ. So Refuge family, this morning I am encouraged by the fact that I look at Scripture, I look at older saints, I look at older men and women in the faith, and the faithfulness seen in their lives, the faithfulness that I see all throughout the Scriptures, encourage me to not fall into the pit of denial or despair. Because guys, we can lament. We can go to God for everything that is going on in us. And so I'm just going to quickly pray for us. But Refuge family, let's, whatever it is that we're going through, would you just let God minister to you in that way? Would you let God to come to you in a very unique and special way this afternoon? And would you let us walk with you? Scripture calls us that if there's a burden too heavy to carry, we, the people of God, can come alongside one another to help. Let's pray. And so, Father, it's in times like these where your goodness, your sovereignty, your faithfulness, Lord, some of us, Lord, have just been tempted to believe those lies. And I just pray, Lord, that through time spent with you, through the Scriptures, through being in community, through connecting with other believers, would you remind us that at the cross, you gave us hope. Hope that, a hope and a promise that regardless of what we would experience on this life, that you will one day make every wrong right. Every injustice, every evil right in the second coming of your Son. So Lord, we need hope as a nation. We need hope as a people. So Lord, would we lean into you above anything else, above any political system, above any human leader, above any cultural commentary, Lord, but that we would find our hope in the finished work of your Son. Thank you, Lord, for being good, even when we're not, and God's family says, amen. Love you, Refuge family. Have a good day.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Set free.